This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Greetings to Capricorn FM listeners. Greetings to all matriculants. My name is Mr. Jore M., attached to Dendron Secondary School. In our English first edition language lesson today, we'll focus on the drama My Children, My Africa. Our main focus will be on Act 2, Scene 1. The previous scene that we focused on was Act 1, Scene 6. And in Act 1, Scene 6, Tami has already indicated his intention to be part of the comrades, which means he is likely to drop out of quiz. He indicated that he does not want to continue going to Zolile High, citing the fact that Zolile classrooms have become a trap to young people's minds. He has also indicated that he doesn't want to continue learning Bantu education. You remember Bantu education, which is forced on them. And the person whom we discussed in the previous scene, who is coming to their school to enforce Bantu education, is Dewit Krobler, Umdawi. This implies that Tami is also likely to drop out of the quiz. Remember, they are practicing for the literature quiz competition with Isabel. So at this point, we get a notion, an idea that he is likely to drop out of the quiz competition as well. It is in Act 2, Scene 1, that is on page 82. Act 2, Scene 1 starts on page 82. Where we see Tami drawing from the literature quiz so that he joins the protest or the revolution. We can call it the protest. We can call it the revolution. We can call it the boycott. We can call it the liberation struggle. So Tami is dropping out of school so that he can join the protests, so that he can part of the school boycott, so that he can join the revolution. He can be part of the liberation struggle. When the scene begins, the stage directions indicate, or let me just read the stage directions here. Act 2, Scene 1. Isabel and Tami. She has books and papers. Behind a relaxed and easy manner, she watches Tami carefully. So as you can see, as the audience, we begin to wonder why Isabel is watching Tami carefully. It is quite likely that Tami is displaying a strange behavior. That is why probably Isabel is watching Tami carefully. She doesn't expect the changes that she is seeing in Tami. So as indicated in the stage directions, Isabel has brought material for the quiz with her and she is ready for the literature quiz practice. That's why she has brought a lot of material. As she is going through her notes about the three Bronte sisters, these are Charlotte, Emily, and Anne, she realizes that Tami is not paying attention. She asks Tami if he has something to say, and indeed, Tami indicates that he has something to say. Though he finds it very difficult to say what he wants to say, he actually says, "I don't know where to begin." Then Isabel's advice is that, don't worry. Just start at the deep end. This is a metaphor which shows that Tami must just start his explanation, even where it hurts. Isabel doesn't care anymore. That's why she says, "You can start at the deep end." Eventually, Tami admits to Isabel that he is pulling out of the literature quiz. He later agrees to Isabel to say, just tell me, is there a problem? We have a problem. Have we? Then Isabel gets to the point where she actually suggests to Tami to say, "So, are you pulling out of the competition?" Then Tami is able to say, "Yes." That's when Isabel says, "The great literary quiz team is no more. We are pulling out of the competition." Tami says yes. So Tami finds it very hard to tell Isabel because she knows that this literature quiz competition is very important to Isabel, and Isabel has invested a lot in it. Mr. M had hoped that this team made up of Tammy and Isabel was going to be a very strong team, and he had hoped that they would win the competition at the Grahamstown Schools Festival. Well, a simple question, boys and girls. Can be mentioned two people involved in the literature quiz. Mention two people that are involved in the literature quiz. The two people that are involved are Tammy and Isabel. They are forming one team. If we consider Mr. M's actual intention in bringing Isabel, who is white, and Tammy, who is black, to work together in this literature quiz, then the word quiz can actually be viewed both literally and figuratively. First of all, literally, it's just a quiz between Tammy and Isabel, the literature quiz that they are practicing for. But the deeper meaning, or the figurative meaning of the word quiz, is that it's a quiz about bringing black people and white people to work together, to respect each other, to accept each other, and to accommodate each other. So that can be the metaphorical meaning of the word quiz. The literal meaning is the obvious one, that Tammy and Isabel are going to participate or to partake in a quiz. But the figurative meaning of the word quiz here is that you are trying out something that you don't know if it's going to be successful or not. So Mr. M is having a puzzle here. He wants to bring Tammy, who is black, and Isabel, who is white, to work together during the apartheid era so that there can be racial integration. It's something that was not quite familiar during the apartheid era, that a black learner and a white learner can actually form a team, a quiz team, and it was quite likely that at some point there would be some disruptions. So Mr. M is just trying that. The examiner will want to check if you know the real reason why Tammy pulls out of the literature quiz. The examiner may say, state the main reason why Tammy pulls out or withdraws from the literary quiz competition. State the reason why Tammy is withdrawing from the literature quiz competition. The main reason why Tammy decides to pull out or to withdraw from the competition is because Tammy wants to join the protests. Tammy wants to be part of the learner boycotts. The learners are no longer interested in Bantu education, so they want to go to the streets so that they can protest against Bantu education. So Tammy wants to be part of them. So I don't think it's enough for you just to say it's for political reasons. You must go on and explain that these political reasons are that Tammy wants to be part of the boycotts, and the comrades do not allow any interaction between white people and black people. So since Tammy is part of the boycott or part of the protests, then it means he is not supposed to continue working with Isabel, a white learner. That's why Tammy pulls out of the quiz. Another question can be, describe the mood that is evident in this extract. Here we have Tammy pulling out of the quiz, and Isabel had invested a lot in the quiz. All of a sudden, from nowhere, Tammy says, I'm pulling out of the quiz. So how best can you describe the mood? The mood is the general atmosphere that is prevailing at the point when Tammy is withdrawing from the quiz. How best can you describe the atmosphere, the environment? That's the mood that we are talking about. The mood is not necessarily the same as the tone. Tone, we can detect it from the way somebody utters certain words. But mood, we detect it through the interaction of people. So here, the mood that is evident when Tammy is withdrawing from the quiz, or when Tammy is pulling out of the quiz competition, the mood is a sad mood, or you can say a gloomy mood, or you can say it's a sorrowful mood. People are not happy here. Isabel never anticipated, she never saw it coming, that at some point Tammy would withdraw from the literary quiz. That's why the mood is a sorrowful mood. Then another question can be, what is Isabel's state of mind in this extract? What are Isabel's emotions? Her state of mind, what is it that she could be going through at this point? So the state of mind here is that is of despair, disappointment. That's how we can describe the state of mind that Isabel is going through at this moment. Then Mr. M's idea in bringing Tammy and Isabel together, other than the fact that he wanted Tammy to win in the literature quiz competition so that he can get a scholarship to go to university, the main motive was that he wanted to promote racial integration. I think we've alluded to that earlier. He wanted to have to check if black and white learners can work together successfully. That was his motive. That was his aim, to bring black learners and black and white learners to work together successfully. That was his motive. So the question is saying, do you think Mr. M's dream was achieved? Did he achieve his dream? So it's very important that first of all we establish the dream, to say he wanted to check, or he wanted to promote racial integration. If you understand that he wanted to promote racial integration, and now Tammy is withdrawing from the competition, then it should be obvious, boys and girls, that Mr. M did not achieve his dream of bringing black learners and white learners to work together. It just died a premature death. They did not go for the competition. That's why here we can safely say Mr. M did not achieve his dream. Isabel is left there alone. Tammy has decided to withdraw from the quiz. Therefore, his dream has not been achieved. He did not continue. Tammy did not continue with the quiz. He pulls out prematurely. Then, the theme that is evident at this point, at this part of the scene, is when Tammy pulls out of the literature quiz, is the theme of betrayal. Among the themes that are evident in My Children, My Africa, we have the theme of betrayal. Betrayal is where somebody, a character, does what other characters did not expect. So in this case, Tammy has betrayed both Mr. M and Isabel. He has betrayed Mr. M because Mr. M wanted him to continue with the quiz, go to Grahamstown for the quiz competition so that he can win a scholarship to go to university. When Tammy drops out of the quiz, it means he has betrayed Mr. M, who had high hopes that Tammy will get a scholarship to go to university. Tammy also betrays Mr. M because Mr. M has a dream of bringing black learners and white learners to be able to work together peacefully. That's another dream that Mr. M had that was shattered when Tammy pulls out of the competition. Racial integration is not going to be possible anymore. Tammy also betrays Isabel because Isabel had invested a lot in this competition. Remember, at the beginning of the scene, Isabel comes with a lot of material that they have to use to prepare for the quiz, which shows us that she had invested a lot in the quiz. And Tammy pulls prematurely from the quiz. It means Tammy has betrayed Isabel as well. When Isabel checks with Tammy whether Tammy has already informed Mr. M that he's going to pull out of the competition, Isabel indicates that he has not yet informed Mr. M about his withdrawal from the literature quiz. But he is quick to point that he has got no choice. On page 84, Tammy says, Mr. M has got no choice. The fact that I have already pulled out of the competition doesn't give him an option, because it's going to be useless even if Mr. M is going to try and negotiate with Tammy. Tammy is not ready to accept. He has made a decision that he is going to withdraw from the literature quiz competition. So at this point, Tammy wants to prove to Mr. M that Mr. M is no longer going to make decisions for him. If you check in Act 1, Scene 1, we have Tammy complaining that Mr. M makes decisions for me. He doesn't even ask me. On page 15, Act 1, Scene 1, Tammy is trying to say, I don't listen to him. I don't do what he tells me to do. Then later on in Act 1, Scene 5, Isabel again is trying to insist that Tammy should talk to Mr. M. They should become friends. They should be open with each other. But Tammy says, no, Mr. M's ideas are old-fashioned. So it has been going on and on like that. But at this point, it becomes very clear that Tammy is no longer willing to continue listening to Mr. M. That's why he says he has got no choice. I have already made up my mind. He just has to accept it. And I doubt, Isabel says, I doubt that you will accept it. So Tammy says, he has got no choice, Isabel. I've decided, and that's the end of it. You can see that somebody is really determined here. If they ask you to provide one term which sums up what Tammy is saying, you can say Tammy is showing determination to pull out of the quiz. Then as we proceed, on page 84, Isabel says to Tammy, don't be stupid, Tammy. Of course, I know what's going on. That is after Tammy indicates to Isabel to say, you seem not to know what's going on. So Isabel says, I know. One has to be pretty dumb not to know the dreaded unrest has finally reached us as well. So Isabel describes the learner boycotts and protests as unrest. But Tammy views it as a negative term that makes the learners seem like hooligans. According to Tammy, what they are doing is a just cause. It's something that is positive. So Tammy corrects Isabel and tells her that black people refer to the learner activism as isiqalo, which means the beginning, something that is starting. So one may ask what the black people mean, what the black learners mean when they say isiqalo, the beginning. The term beginning here shows us that the black people are beginning a new era. They want to get rid of apartheid. Learners are determined to get rid of Bantu education. That's why they are calling it the beginning. So if they ask you about the name of the protest, it's entitled The Beginning, which shows us that there is a lot of determination among black people to get rid of apartheid, to get rid of Bantu education. That's why they call it The Beginning. We have to break for a commercial break. We will meet after the commercial break. Thank you, boys and girls. Come back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, we were focusing on the phrase or the term the beginning. Remember, we are busy with Act 2, Scene 1. for My Children, My Africa, the drama My Children, My Africa. So before you went for the commercial break, we were discussing the term the beginning, which Tammy prefers that Isabel should use instead of saying unrest. So we realize that they call it the beginning because they are saying it's the beginning of a new era. They want to get rid of apartheid. They want to get rid of Bantu education. Now, let's focus on the theme that is evident here. When the young boys and girls from Zolile High School are joining the beginning, they are joining protests, they are joining the boycott, the liberation struggle, they are not just going there to negotiate for freedom. They are going to use violent ways. So the theme that is evident here is, what is the best way to achieve change? The examiner may refer to the same theme as communication versus violence, or words versus violence. Another one can say the power of words versus violence, or negotiation versus violence. That is the theme that is evident here. Why are we saying that is the theme that is evident here? We all know that Mr. M prefers words. Mr. M prefers communication. But in this case, we have young boys and girls from Zolile High School and people from the Action Committee, Political Action Committee. They are protesting violently. They don't appreciate Mr. M's method of getting rid of apartheid. Isabel doesn't understand how terrible apartheid is. That's why it's taking her time to understand why Tammy has to be involved in the boycotts. Isabel must understand that Tammy is being forced to learn Bantu education, which he knows very well that will not create any opportunity for him in future. But when we compare with Isabel, Isabel's school is well-resourced, and at this point, Isabel already knows that she wants to be a journalist. Tammy is disillusioned because of Bantu education. He doesn't have any prospects for the future. So that is the difference. So Isabel is using some kind of white selfishness when she insists that Tammy should continue with the literature quiz, Tammy should continue with the practice, when Tammy doesn't see any future lying ahead of him if he continues with this Bantu education. When Isabel asks Tammy about the duration of the boycott, because she doesn't understand much about this boycott, Tammy says, "We will only go back to class when the authorities scrap Bantu education and recognize and negotiate with student committees." There is irony here in what Tammy says. We know that Tammy doesn't believe in negotiation. Tammy doesn't believe in communication. But in this statement, Tammy is saying, "We will go back to the school when the authorities scrap Bantu education and recognize and negotiate." The word "negotiate" there is the one that I'm worried about. Tammy is saying, "And negotiate with the student committees." By the way, Tammy has already refused Mr. M's way of negotiating to be free from apartheid. But Tammy is saying, "The student committees are going to negotiate with the authorities." That's what is ironic about this statement. We're fully aware that Tammy prefers violence to negotiations. We get surprised at this point when Tammy says student committees and authorities will negotiate for the scraping of Bantu education. Isabel insists that they should continue meeting as friends, at least. She's saying, "Well, if we can't continue with the literature quiz practice, then let's meet as friends." But Tammy indicates that no, it's against the boycott rules. Black people must not meet with white people. Isabel again finds this ironic. Remember, irony is where something that we don't expect is actually what happens. So the irony here is that Isabel does not expect Tammy's quest for freedom to have some limitations being imposed on him.
Tammy wants to be free and is claiming freedom. When he joins the comrades are imposing rules on Tammy to say, Tammy, you should not continue meeting up with white people. So this shocks Isabel to say, is this kind of freedom that you're talking about? So we see irony in this sense that we do not expect Tammy to have some rules imposed on him because he is saying we are being deprived of freedom by the apartheid regime. So we have to be free. He even gets out of school. But when he gets there to join the boycott, to join the comrades are still dictating that he should not continue meeting up with white people. And if Tammy continues to visit Isabel, he will be seen as a traitor. And I guess you know what happens to traitors, to sellouts. Later on, as you shall discover, Mr. M is murdered for being accused of being a sellout. So Tammy can be in danger of being viewed as a traitor, of being viewed as a sellout. So he can be killed or he can be tortured, like what happens to Mr. M later on. Tammy gets upset that Isabel fails to understand that he should continue, he should not continue meeting up with her. So the stage directions that are here on page 87. On page 87, let me read from where Tammy says, okay, or Isabel says, and of course, if we continue meeting or just having tea with white people, is it such a big crime? Then Tammy says, in the eyes of the location, yes, there's personification there. In the eyes of the location, yes. So there's personification. The location has been personified here. But what it means is just that people will view it, people in the location will view it as a big crime. Then Tammy says, my world is also changing, Isabel. I am breaking the boycott by being here. The comrades don't want any mixing with whites. They have ordered that contact must be kept at a minimum. And Isabel says, how long? And you go along with that? Do you agree to that? Tammy says, yes. Isabel goes on and says, you agree with that happily? Then now, Tammy, the stage directions say, Tammy, goaded by her lack of understanding. It means Tammy is now angry that Isabel is failing to understand Tammy. That Tammy is not allowed to meet up with white people because Tammy will be seen as a traitor. So the theme that is evident here, when the comrades stop black people from meeting up with white people, the theme is the theme of racism or the theme of separation. Other people can say the theme life under apartheid or the negative effects of the apartheid era. The examiner can just use any words there which show us that there is separation between black and white. That is the theme that is evident there, where Tammy is being given rules not to meet up with white people. You might have noticed all this time that Mr. M was not part of this conversation between Tammy and Isabel. It is only now when he gets in secretly, and when he gets in, he just gets straight into the dialogue. He says to Tammy, respond to Isabel's question. Isabel is saying, what kind of freedom is that? Is that the freedom you really wanted? So Tammy is not responding, and Mr. M says, hey, I'm interested in that. Respond to Isabel's question. So Tammy is quick to defend that notion by saying, the comrades are just imposing discipline. It's not like we are being denied freedom. You see how intelligent Tammy is. If they were to ask you, the character trait of Tammy that is evident here. The one that is evident is that Tammy is intelligent. He comes up with a quick answer and he says, the comrades are just imposing discipline. And after all this, if we are successful in our quest for freedom, this is going to be called off. We won't have any such rules for black people. So if you were to be asked about the state of mind, Tammy's state of mind, you can safely say he is full of determination, or Tammy is confident. You can also say Tammy is committed to the boycott. He does not want anyone to distract him or to cause him to break the rules. This shows us that Tammy is committed to the boycott. That's the other character trait or the state of mind that we see here. Mr. M does not approve of the method that the comrades are using in the struggle. He doesn't approve the boycott. He doesn't approve of the use of force. He doesn't approve of the ban on interacting with white people. So Mr. M is against all this. He doesn't understand why how Tammy is reconciling two ideas that seem to be contradicting each other, which are, number one, the desire for freedom, and on the other hand, number two, the rules and restrictions from the comrades. So Mr. M doesn't understand how Tammy is reconciling this. That's why Tammy is saying, no, Mr. M, you must understand that it's just a disciplinary measure. Once we are successful, we will go back. We won't have any such restrictions. Mr. M believes in fighting against Bantu education from within. When he teaches those learners, he thinks that he is doing a good thing because he is fighting against Bantu education from within. He did not view this, when he's teaching that curriculum, he doesn't just end with the curriculum, the prescripts of the curriculum. He goes further and he teaches these children language and how to use that language to communicate ideas. That's why later we find that Tammy addresses the comrades and he was so eloquent. It's because Mr. M is fighting against apartheid from within by teaching these young children how to communicate. These boys and girls is the exact opposite of what Bantu education was designed to do. Bantu education was designed to stifle, you know, children's learning so that they won't be that intelligent, so that they won't be that eloquent when they speak. But Mr. M is fighting against that by teaching these children to be eloquent. He saw this as the best way to fight against apartheid. Remember, boys and girls, the main conflict between Mr. M and Tammy is that Mr. M prefers using words. He prefers using negotiation. Mr. M prefers communication. He prefers using education. But on the other hand, we have Tammy who believes that that is an old-fashioned idea, and he believes in violence. That's why we have conflict between Mr. M and Tam. On page 87 of your drama, My Children, My Africa, for those who don't have, I will ensure that you get everything clear. On page 87, there is use of a literary device that we call an oxymoron. An oxymoron. In an oxymoron, we have two words that oppose each other used together. Two words that oppose each other, they are used together. That's what we call an oxymoron. And let me just give you some simple examples that are not part of this drama. For example, people normally say, parting is such a sweet sorrow. The word sweet and sorrow seem to be opposites, but they are used together here to mean that when you part, maybe somebody is getting married, the mother celebrates that my daughter is getting married, but at the same time, knowing that she's going to miss her daughter makes it to be sorrowful. That's why people say parting is such a sweet sorrow. Or at times, someone can say, when we got there, there was such a loud silence in the classroom. Loud silence. Those words oppose each other. So in this case, the stage directions on page 87 indicate that Mr. M responds to what Tammy says, Tammy's statement, with grudging admiration. With grudging admiration. Let me go to page 87. I'll start from page 86. Tammy says, the comrades are imposing a discipline which our struggle needs at this point. There is no comparison between that and the total denial of freedom by the white government. I think that's the point that we've been making earlier, to say Tammy is defending the lack of freedom by the comrades as just a way of disciplining them. They have been forcing on us an inferior education in order to keep us permanently suppressed. He means the white people there. When our struggle is successful, there will be no more need for the discipline the comrades are demanding. Then Mr. M has been listening then with grudging admiration. He says, oh, Tammy, you learn your lesson so well. The revolution has just begun and you already word perfect. So then tell me, Tammy, do you think I agree with this inferior Bantu education that is being forced on you? Here we are interested in grudging admiration. Mr. M was listening to the intelligence that Tammy has. So he, to explain this oxymoron, you should indicate that in this case, Mr. M admires the fact that Tammy is showing a lot of intelligence, but at the same time, with some limitations. He admires what Tammy is saying. He admires the intelligence that Tammy has. But he doesn't like the view that Tammy is using this wisdom to support the boycott. That's what Mr. M is worried about. He admires the eloquence. He admires the intelligence. But at the same time, he doesn't like the fact that Tammy is using this to support the comrades. You must note that, boys and girls, this is not a paradox. It's an oxymoron. Grudging admiration. It's an oxymoron. We just have two words that are opposing each other. In a paradox, normally, we have two ideas opposing each other. But here, we don't have two ideas, we just have words. So Mr. M has mixed feelings here. Grudging admiration. He admires Tammy's intelligence because he has raised a very convincing answer. But at the same time, he does so unwillingly. He admires reluctantly. He does not want to admire wholeheartedly because Tammy is using his intelligence to support the comrades. He also admires the fact that Tammy uses language intelligently. Remember, he says later on he's going to tell us that he heard that Tammy was addressing the comrades eloquently. So this shows us that he admires the fact that Tammy knows how to express himself, but he doesn't like it when Tammy uses it to support the comrades. It's time for a commercial break, boys and girls. Welcome back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, boys and girls, we were focusing on the oxymoron that we find in Act 2, Scene 1 on page 87, where Mr. M has this grudging admiration on what Tammy says. And we said that in an oxymoron, we have two words that oppose each other. So in this case, Mr. M admires Tammy's intelligence, but he doesn't admire the fact that Tammy uses this intelligence to support the boycott. So Mr. M gets a chance to ask Tammy to say, do you really think that I support this Bantu education? Let me read from page 87, the first utterance by Mr. M. Mr. M says, so then tell me, Tammy, do you think I agree with this inferior Bantu education that is being forced on you. Maybe we need to focus on the word forced. Forced. It means this Bantu education is just being imposed on black learners. They don't like it because it's an inferior type of education. So it's just being imposed on them, and they are unwilling. They are not willing to continue with Bantu education. So Mr. M is saying, so then, do you tell me, Tami, do you think I agree with this inferior Bantu education that is being imposed on you, that is being forced on you? Tami says, you teach it. Well, maybe we can pause there and ask, if you were the stage director, what would you tell Tami to do when he says these words? You teach it. Maybe you should say, when you're answering such a question, think of the actions that we use when we want to emphasize something, or when you are responding to something and with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy. Here Tami says, you teach it, Mr. M. So what would you tell Tami to do? Remember, you need to focus on the hands, how you are going to use the hands to perform that action. And the face, the head, focus on those aspects to say, how can you perform an action using those? Well, it's acceptable to say Tami should raise his voice. It's acceptable, but I prefer that you use actions that we can really see. For example, I'll tell Tami to point a finger at Mr. M. Or I'll tell Tami to lean towards Mr. M. Or I'll tell Tami to open his eyes widely. Or I'll tell Tami to nod his head. Those are the actions, some of the actions that you can use to respond to such a question, to say, if you're the stage director, what would you tell Tami to do when he says to Mr. M, you teach it? So at this point, Mr. M indicates that, yes, he teaches it, but he teaches it unhappily. He teaches that Bantu education unhappily. He just teaches it because he wants to sabotage it by going beyond its actual requirements. He's saying, I remain in this system, in the Bantu education system, because I'm taking advantage. When I am within like this, I can continue teaching you other things that are not the requirements of Bantu education, so that you can be successful in future. That's what Mr. M is saying. Mr. M, let me just read here what Mr. M says after Tami says, you teach it. He repeats unhappily 3 times. Let's see. Tami says, you teach it. And Mr. M comes in and says, but unhappily so, most unhappily, unhappily so. The fact that he repeats the word unhappily shows that he really emphasizes what he's saying, and he probably really means what he's saying. Don't you know that? Did you have your fingers in your ears? The 1,000 times I have said so in the classroom. Now I want us to focus on the phrase, the 1,000 times. Did you have your fingers in your ears? The 1,000 times I have said I teach it unhappily. The phrase, the 1,000 times here, is an exaggeration. But if they ask you for the figure of speech, you don't say it's exaggeration. It's called hyperbole. It's an example of a hyperbole. Hyperbole is an exaggeration, but the actual figure of speech or literal device is hyperbole. When you explain it now, you indicate that Mr. M wants to emphasize that he has told learners at Zolile High Classroom, in Zolile High Classroom number 1, several times that he teaches it not because he is happy, but he teaches it unhappily. So he has said it many times. But boys and girls, to say 1,000 times, that one makes it a hyperbole, which I said it's an exaggeration. In an exaggeration, don't confuse an exaggeration and a metaphor and other figures of speech. In an exaggeration, there is an element of truth. Indeed, Mr. M might have said it many times, but to go on and say a thousand times, it's now an exaggeration. I don't think somebody can count up to a thousand. I teach it unhappily so. I teach it unhappily so. If he was teaching the metric, it means the metrics have term 1, 2, and 3. And to say in those terms, term 1, 2, 3, and 4, in those four terms he has repeated it a thousand times, that's quite unlikely. That's why we are saying it's a hyperbole, it's an exaggeration. So I think this figure of speech hyperbole should be very clear after this explanation to say, Mr. M says, I teach it a thousand times. He just means he has repeated it several times. Even now, he has said unhappily so, unhappily, unhappily, thrice, which shows us that he is emphasizing. Another literary device that is evident on this part of the scene on page 87, when Mr. M says, my conscience would not let me rest until I had succeeded. And I have, yes, I have succeeded. I have got irrefutable proof of my success. Yes, you, Tammy. So in Mr. M here is saying he has succeeded in sabotaging Bantu education. And the proof that he has is Tammy. He thinks when he looks at Tammy, then the success that Tammy seems to be showing, it's all his contribution. But that is quite ironic for Mr. M to say Tammy is his irrefutable proof. It's Tammy is his evidence that he has succeeded in sabotaging Bantu education. It's quite ironic here. Why is it? Why can we simply say it's ironic? It's ironic for him to say Tammy is his proof of success when we all know that Tammy drops out of school. And Mr. M wanted him to remain in school. Tammy drops out of the literature quiz. And Mr. M wanted to be part of that so that he can get scholarship. So for him to claim that Tammy is proof of his success, it becomes quite ironic. We don't expect that. Because Tammy has dropped out of school. Therefore, as a passionate teacher who wanted Tammy in the class, it means it's a loss to him. So he cannot claim that as a success. It is also ironic that Tammy criticizes Mr. M for being a supporter of Bantu education. Yet, Mr. M is the one who has taught him to rise above that Bantu education system. So it also becomes ironic in that sense. Another figure of speech that is evident here in this part of the scene, it's where we have, on page 87 again, Tammy says, Mr. M says, I have liberated your mind in spite of what the Bantu education was trying to do. I have liberated your mind. Here Mr. M is talking about the mind. He's not actually talking about Tammy. He says, I have liberated your mind. So this because speech is personification. And you have when you have to explain personification, you don't have to say it's personification because the mind cannot be liberated. No, you shouldn't say that. You should say this figure of speech is effective because Mr. M is saying he managed to help Tammy's mind to be free. He managed to help Tammy to be educated so that he can rise above Bantu education. Tammy indicates that Mr. M's lessons were on whispering. The term whispering again has been used figuratively here to mean that Mr. M has taught learners not to protest violently, but to resist apathy peacefully. So when Tammy talks about whispering, he means that Mr. M has taught them to resist apathy peacefully. Tammy prefers shouting, which in this case means violence. So he is mocking Mr. M by saying, you have taught us lessons on whispering. He's using a sarcastic tone here. This part draws us to the theme, the same theme that we talked about earlier, the best way to achieve change, or words versus violence, because Tammy says Mr. M prefers whispering and he prefers violence. Tammy is being sarcastic here again when he says to Mr. M, yes, yours were lessons in whispering. There are men now who are teaching us to shout. Those little tricks and jokes of yours in the classroom liberated nothing. The struggle doesn't need the big English words you taught me how to spell. So Tammy is being sarcastic as he mocks Mr. M that Mr. M's method has not worked. It's only his method of fighting that he thinks that it's going to really work. He is challenging Mr. M's belief. But Mr. M feels no, still, the appropriate way is to use words, not to fight. He says here, if you communicate well, you can change the other people's views. This is seen on page 88 when he says, words can get into the heads of people who are inside the armored cars. He believes that if you can communicate effectively, people can really change their minds. To emphasize Mr. M's belief in the power of words, he continues to give us a comparison between an ox and a human being. He says, an ox is very big as we know it, but it can be controlled by a human being because a human being can speak. Mr. M later on makes a desperate attempt when he asks Tammy to say, please Tammy, persuade those learners. Let me read the exact words. He says, talk to them, talk to the other learners, bring them back into the classroom. They will listen to you. They look up to you as a leader. If you are asked there about the tone, you say Mr. M is using a pleading tone. He is pleading with Tammy, but it's just a desperate attempt because at this point, Tammy himself is not willing to come back to class. So it's quite unlikely that he can try to convince or persuade the other learners. Which character trait of Mr. M is evident here when he talks to Tammy? It shows that he is persistent. He still wants the learners back into the classroom. It shows us that he is passionate about education. He is still negotiating with Tammy to bring back learners to class. Tammy reports that at the previous night's meeting, people were talking about Mr. M as a traitor for teaching in the Bantu education system and not fighting directly against the system. So the theme that is evident there is the theme of betrayal. Mr. M is viewed as somebody who is betraying the black people. The mood that is at the end of the scene is a tense mood because Tammy and Mr. M are both angry. Tammy says, then don't call me names, Mr. M. Mr. M says, no. Then what must I call you? Call you a comrade? Never. You are a silly boy. And now without any education, you will even grow up to be a stupid man. So the scene ends at that note when Mr. M and Tammy are arguing and Isabel comes in. She has been very quiet. She comes in and she uses vulgar words freely, which shows us that it was still during the apartheid era. That brings us to the end of Act 1, Scene 2. When we meet again on Saturday, we'll be busy with Act 2, Scene 2, and Act 2, Scene 3 combined. Act 2, Scene 2, and Act 2, Scene 3 combined. That brings us to the end of the lesson, boys and girls. Good luck.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.